This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. 26 families say a coal company is responsible for damaging their water supply. Trial for 16 of those families begins today in Wyoming County Circuit Court. Jessica Lilly reports.
The court has already ordered Dynamic Energy, a subsidiary of Bluestone Meshel, to provide a temporary water solution for residents involved in the case called Belcher versus Dynamic Energy. Paulette Blankenship is one of the residents who is currently getting water from the company. Blankenship built her colonial-style home with her husband. She leads me to her backyard, where she shows me her new temporary water supply, about a 5-foot-tall tank covered in tarps with a valve and a single rock perched on top.
Okay, now back here is our tank. They come about 3 times a week and deliver water into this. And they put the rock there to keep the flap from blowing off. And that comes from, I believe, Oceana's municipal water supply.
Okay. So this is their tank?
The coal company bought the tank for us after Judge McGraw ordered it. If you want to come back in the house, I can explain to you how that came about, because that was very convoluted.
According to court documents, residents filed their complaints in May 2014. The families say that Bluestone Meshel Incorporated violated state law, the West Virginia Surface Coal Mining and Reclamation Act, and damaged several wells along Cedar Creek Road. While awaiting trial, the plaintiffs filed a motion in October 2014 for the company to replace their water. 2 months later, the court granted the motion based on the residents' need for clean water to, quote, meet their basic needs for survival. Water testing presented by the plaintiffs showed high levels of arsenic, aluminum, lead, iron, and other pollutants. It took 8 months and another court order before residents like Paulette got a temporary solution for clean water. Paulette and her husband say they're not trying to create problems in the small town with anyone who might work at the surface mine site.
We taught our children every day in school, stand up for what's right. And if you have been wronged, stand up for your rights. And that's basically what we're doing. We're standing up for our right to live on this land, to live in this house, unencumbered with contaminated water. We want what we had before, simply.
Paulette and the rest of the plaintiffs involved in this suit are asking for permanent water replacement. Her attorneys have estimated the replacement for a reverse osmosis system would cost $57,000 per household. Bluestone Meshel's attorney James Brown did not want to comment on the case on the eve of the trial. The company maintains that they are not responsible and that the mining practice did not contaminate these water systems. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jessica Lilly in Clear Fork.
And here's a little more to this story. Bluestone Meshel used to be owned by a Russian company and was recently bought by Jim Justice, who's seeking the Democratic nomination for governor. A campaign spokesman said in a statement that Bluestone has been hauling fresh water to each house for years since this case was brought against the Russian company. The statement says West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection scientists have found that there is no correlation between this mine and the wells in question, and that, quote, anyone with a legitimate issue, we will make whole. The statement also says Bluestone is challenging the lawsuit because it doesn't want to risk losing 150 union coal mining jobs. This is West Virginia Mornings, coming up on 7:48. Variable cloudiness today, breezy with some rain, temperatures in the 60s. Rain tonight with overnight lows in the upper 30s and 40s, becoming partly sunny on Tuesday with highs in the 50s.
Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com. WV511 is reporting a vehicle accident in Kanawha County on eastbound I-64 at mile marker 58 in Charleston.
What are the industries of the future? What jobs will today's high school graduates have? Will they be different from the kind of jobs we have now? The answers to those questions can be found in a new book by Charleston, West Virginia native Alec Ross. Called The Industries of the Future, Ross calls it the kind of book he wishes someone would have written when he was in high school to not only point him to the correct path to a future career, but also his fellow students and the entire state of West Virginia. Alec Ross found his path that took him to the highest levels of the federal government. For 4 years, he was the senior advisor for innovation for Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. He says his job there was to figure out how to hack solutions to foreign policy challenges.
So I'll give you two quick examples. One, there were a number of political assassinations taking place in Syria because the Syrian government could find people through the GPS on their mobile phones. So my team wiped out that capability. Second example is in Mexico. There was a huge amount of violence from the drug cartels. And so we created a system so that people could anonymously send encrypted emails to report the whereabouts of these cartel members. And that helped take down the leadership of two cartels.
It was really technology that got into these very fine diplomatic points.
So look... In the year 2016, technology is very, very powerful. And instead of diplomacy just being done between white men with white shirts, red ties, and pinstripe suits talking to each other, increasingly we see technology playing a role in this. So I came in to work at her shoulder and be sort of a national security technology guy.
Must have been fascinating work.
It was fascinating work. You know, it's interesting, the promise and peril of the 21st century is no longer contained by national borders. And technology plays a big role in this. And, you know, it's both good and bad. You know, technology takes on the values and the intentions of the people who use it. We see ISIS, for example, using technology to very powerful effect right now to recruit vulnerable, young, impressionable Muslim men. And so, you know, the challenge to us now needs to be, all right, how do we use that same technology that more often than not is American and figure out how to use it to crush ISIS as opposed to help them recruit?
Let's move on to West Virginia. I noticed this quote that is from the book. Growing up, I thought that life in West Virginia was representative of life everywhere. You were doing your best to manage a slow descent. But the phenomenon I was witnessing in West Virginia really made sense to me only as I traveled the world and saw other regions rising as West Virginia was falling. When did it first occur to you that West Virginia isn't keeping up? West Virginia is falling. Do you remember a moment, a story that illustrated that to you?
You know, It really struck me after I left college when I saw the enormous amount of wealth being created from people creating internet-based businesses. And I knew the kids that I grew up with and went to public school with in West Virginia were every bit as smart and every bit as capable as these young folks in Massachusetts and California creating internet-based firms. And so it's really dismayed me over the last 20 years that West Virginia, which had a strong foundation in industrial age economies, you know, from chemicals to coal, just didn't make the pivot into the 21st century economy, the technology-rich, knowledge-based economy. And so many of the kids that I went to school with left the state. You know, the day that I was born, Charleston had a population of about 75,000. Today, it's about 50,000. And so people have left because of a perceived lack of opportunity. Now, I know that the talent in West Virginia is competitive with the talent anywhere in the world. So I'm now half obsessed with trying to figure out what can be done to create a 21st century economy in West Virginia.
And that is what our politicians are always saying. It's an election year here. And what advice would you have for these candidates who say, we've got to move to the 21st century economy, but we don't want to offend coal?
Well, look, I don't think this has to have much of anything to do with coal. You know, I think that let's put that big issue aside. Let's focus, for example, on K through 12 education. You know, if people really want to move the state of West Virginia into the 21st century, let's think about those schools all over the state that need really good public school teachers, and let's flood the state with Teach for America teachers. You know, West Virginia is one of the only states in the country that has low-income communities where we are not working hard to bring Teach for America in. Let's also look at our curriculum, and let's get out of, you know, trying to bring religion and this and that, you know, people's politics into the classrooms. That's just absolutely insane. Mm-hmm. We need to do more to bring science, technology, engineering, and mathematics education into these public school classrooms so that we can create the technology entrepreneurs of the future here in West Virginia.
Mm-hmm. And I think the politicians know that. They know that they've got to bring the STEM fields, and they're working on it. What was your education like here in Kanawha County in West Virginia, graduating from George Washington High School? What was the spark that led you to where you are today?
I thought I got a great education. I thought my education at George Washington High School was outstanding. I had great teachers, but what I also had were parents, you know, particularly my mother, whose nickname was Becky the Barbarian. Becky the Barbarian made sure that whatever I wasn't getting in the classroom, I would get at home. And so similarly, my wife is a sixth grade math teacher, and we have three kids, 13, 11, and 9 years old. They're in public schools, and whatever they aren't getting in their classrooms, we try to make sure they get at home. So for example, my 13-year-old son is taking Mandarin. He's learning to speak Chinese. My 11-year-old daughter is taking an online robotics class. Increasingly, these resources can be world-class and free. As long as you have a high-speed internet connection at home, parents can make up for whatever deficits there are at school.
You've written your first book. You're a young man. What are your plans? What's next for you?
Well, I wrote this book, The Industries of the Future, to try to light a little path for people who want to know what's coming around the corner economically. I wish somebody had written a book 20 years ago that would have told me what the internet was going to do. That's why I wrote The Industries of the Future. In terms of what's next for me, you know, look, I own now pieces of 8 different fast-growing technology companies, and I'm helping them grow. I'm teaching at Johns Hopkins University, which is a really good school, and I'm increasingly thinking about places like my home state of West Virginia and trying to figure out ways in which we can create inclusive growth around the world.
Alec Ross, Industries of the Future, published by Simon & Schuster. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.